Good to have you back with us on the Horseman's Corner. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program, and here's the final segment of today's show with Dr. Steve Peters.
It's tough to know how much time you should give them, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Your horse will tell you. Because sometimes I'll get some engineers, and they'll say, well, let me write this down in my notebook. How much time do I wait? 1.5 minutes? 2 minutes? Here's what Martin says, that if his horse has kind of gone through an iffy situation and come out on the other side okay, he can make it a good situation by just allowing time. And what he'll do, he'll just take out his cell phone at that point in time and just make some calls and just look for as much licking and chewing as we can see. What does licking and chewing mean? Really, I don't want to get too technical, but there's a nerve, the ninth cranial nerve, and its only job is to activate the salivary glands when the horse drops down into what's called a parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. That's what you wait for. You wait until you got that horse dropping its head below the withers and starting to lick and chew. And when they start to do that, let it. What Martin says, when you think you waited long enough, then wait longer. You know, and I got a friend who trains nothing but Mustangs, and what he says is, his neighbors drive by and say, why do they even pay that guy? He just stands around staring at his horses all the time. But his horses are really, really good. And I think that talk, we chuckle because people are paying them to work their horses. So they want to see those horses ridden and see those horses moving. What he tells them is, you know, the proof's in the pudding. And I tell everybody as well, don't believe me. Go ask your horse. Go take this approach and just ask your horse and see what happens.
Does size mean anything to a horse?
You know, sometimes I like to start a horse, you know, and I'm not a trainer, I'm a scientist, but sometimes I'll get my biggest horse and use that horse so I don't have to be the one providing the pressure. So when I'm starting a horse, I might start him in the round pen by horseback by a bigger horse and just let that horse move and know that the other horse can't really resist that as much. And if it feels resistance, it's really getting it from the other horse and not from me. And I find that kind of sometimes works. So size works in that kind of environment.
Well, it's interesting. My wife is 4'10", weighs about 85 to 90 pounds. And she had a filly that she really liked, and we fed some horses together, and the older horses were taking the food away from her.
Mm-hmm.
She said, why don't you do something? I said, well, you're the one that likes the filly. You do something. She said, what should I do? I said, do what you do best at, hun. Just look grumpy as heck. Interestingly enough, she went out there with the filly, stand by the filly. The other mares had come around, and she'd look at them and point at them. And she was a teacher. She could look grumpy. They'd back off. So evidently they were reading, like Clever Hans, they were reading her body language.
Absolutely. In that regard, to the person, size does not matter at all. In fact, some women are just much better at this than others because young guys get their testosterone up and they want to use the warrior approach and by dang, I'll make you do it. And I think sometimes women can be more effective. I'm not talking about the nurturing type of behavior where you don't want to get your horse upset and you don't want to do anything, but I'm talking about just in plain communication. But you can't go out there and be scared and try to fool the horse by stiffening up your back and acting tough, you know. But you're still a predator, and they know that. They never forget that. And if you get your hackles up, they'll take notice. So, yeah, you can be 4'5" and 95 pounds and still be really effective in your communication with your horse because you don't have to punish them. You don't have to punish them. You just have to get the message across.
You know, when you watch the horses in the herd once in a while to get their point across, the horse does whatever it takes. If it takes just a movement of the head or a nip or maybe even a kick, but then they don't keep it up. They don't. In other words, I guess is there anything wrong with thumping the horse if you need to, but don't beat them? Is that a good statement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can move your horse by, you know, and then you can practice with that and say, well, what's the least I can do to move that horse? But I'm not saying, you know, no, don't ever get in there and move your horses around by pushing this horse over or that horse. Yeah, and they're not holding a grudge. You watch. It's built in. They sort it out there, because that would not be a good deal if every day they're getting in fights. They get injured. They use up all their calories. You know, so you're right. Sometimes it's the look of the eye. Sometimes it's, you know, the ears pinned back. Maybe they bare their teeth. That's all it takes for the most part. And they might need to kick or something at one point in time, but then everybody's nervous system settles back down, and there you go. It doesn't hurt to get their attention when they're not giving it to you. And then just practice with what little bit. Maybe it's just wiggling the lead line is enough to get their attention, you know? So you can just kind of go from there, and that's the skill and the art of being a good horseman, I think, is, you know, what little bit you can do to get your message across, not how you can manhandle some horse, right?
I think it would be kind of tough to manhandle something that outweighs you by 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's not like Ray Hunt said, you don't want to get into a contest and teach them that there's a contest, because ultimately you can't win that one.
No, it's really tough for me to out-muscle a horse that does outweigh me by 1,000 pounds. It's just not going to work. What's next on your agenda? Where are you going from here?
I have a website, horsebrainscience.info. There's also evidence-basedhorsemanship.com. And what Martin and I are doing now, we're working on some virtual clinics. You know, this whole COVID thing has had us housebound. So what we do is we've had listeners send in clips, film clips of their horses. And so we kind of discuss those, but coming at the same approach that you and I have been talking about here. And you know, we found that we've reached more people and developed more interest just in that kind of format. I don't think anybody's real eager to go hop on an airplane and fly somewhere. So our next virtual clinic, I think, is on the 26th, and you get to that by martinblack.net. And we're also, he and I, we're looking at now low-stress cattle handling, so evidence-based stockmanship, and how you can use your horse and read cattle, because horses know how to rate and how to move and et cetera. And you can do this all without getting your horse and your cattle all upset, busting up your panels, screaming and yelling. You know, you can do this all really calmly and efficiently. So we're studying the nervous system of cattle as well as horses, and then that interaction, and then you throw the human interaction in on top of that. But we're going to be talking to some cattlemen and ranchers and et cetera on how they can do both, how they can go back to using the horse in their cattle operation, and how they can keep it really low stress.
Well, that ought to be interesting. Now, what's the charge for these virtual events that you have?
I think Martin is charging something like you can sit on the fence and just listen in. So that's like $15 or $20, I think. And then you can send in a video clip, or you can ask to ask some questions, and then that's up a little more. And I think the highest price is $100 for the virtual clinic, and it runs for 2 hours. Yeah, it runs for 2 hours, and we do it twice. We do it once early in the morning and once at night, so everybody gets a chance. And basically what you get is Martin and I live, so we just hold a discussion with you, and we answer your questions. And everybody looks at these clips, film clips together, and we kind of analyze them with people that are struggling with their horses. And we've done two or three already, and they all seem to sell out pretty quick.
That's interesting when you say sell out. Gosh, to audit that, it's virtually limitless number of people you could have.
Yeah, you would think. And I'm not sure exactly why they sell out the numbers, because you're right. You know, if you're auditing, but I'm not sure if it has something to do with that. That's more an IT question, I think. That's beyond my pay grade.
The horse's brain is what you're interested in, not the IT brain.
Right.
Anything else you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
You know, I just think there's enough people out there that we're kind of getting a wave going where, you know, people are starting to wonder, well, I could do it this way, but what's in the best interest of my horse? And so I think just I tell people, be critical. You know, if it doesn't work, we wouldn't want you to do it. With everything out there, just, you know, ask your horse, because your horse is the ultimate judge. If it doesn't work, don't do it. Right? Try another approach. And just be flexible, because I would tell everybody out there, you're a scientist, whether you think so or not. You're always experimenting with your horse. Your horse is different than all the other horses. So you got to kind of give some give and take and figure things out on your own. But it's all good data, because then you can put that in your toolbox, and you got that for the next horse and the next horse. You know, I'm a little ashamed sometimes of some of those horses way back long ago that I thought I was doing right by just the knowledge I have now. But everything is just knowledge growing on knowledge. So I tell people, be open-minded and don't be afraid to experiment.
Isn't the best interest of the horse actually the best interest of the human as well?
You know it is. Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better.
Well, we've run out of time, but gosh, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to me. This has been a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate being on your show, and I had a lot of fun, too. So hopefully your listeners were able to pick up something from this.
Dr. Steve Peters, a really interesting individual to talk to with some great information for people who are interested in horses. And he's just one of the many that we have on Horseman's Corner. As time goes on, you'll hear more from some really good horsemen and some really good programs that have to do with horses and some events that are geared for horse people. So those are some of the things that will be coming up in the future. I know one of them that will be coming up in the future is Mindy Bauer at the Old Ranch at Simla, Colorado, with some interesting thoughts about what should be done and how you should proceed if you're looking for a horse and going out there to buy one, some of the steps that you should take. So that's all coming down the pike on Horseman's Corner. Looks like it is just about time to close the program out, and it's always good to have you folks along with us. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy doing it. So with that said, I'll say goodbye. May God bless. See you next week. Same time, same place.